actually invited, so call me back.
Okay, I love you. Bye.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Emotionally Online, show for spilling guts and sharing secrets with your host, the one and only Maddie Drosvik. And this week I'm joined by my best friend, Ashley, who has been on the show before, but this is Ashley's first time as a solo guest.
It's so exciting.
It is. It's the most exciting.
It's all good stuff. All good stuff.
So Ashley is visiting for the weekend. It's Sunday, so she's been here for a few days, through a little dinner party last night in celebration of friendship, which was so much fun.
It was super nice.
I recently upgraded my dining setup in my apartment from a high top table to like an actual dining table with four chairs. And so this is my first time like throwing a dinner party in my apartment and really like hosting any type of gathering in general. I had a birthday party here last year, but that was really the only other like event that I've had at my apartment so far. And it was so much fun. And I feel like I want to be a dinner party girl now, because it was just like so fun to get to be creative with the setup and building the menus and writing notes for everyone and like going out a few days before and finding gifts. Like the whole process was just fun to me.
It was super thoughtful and like evident how fun it was creatively for you.
Yeah.
Like we had so much fun.
I'm glad.
The whole thing just looked like so beautiful.
Thanks.
And it was nice too, because we all knew each other beforehand.
Right.
So coming into it, like there's shared history.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, I kind of want to do like a new, like, I guess theme every month and then like invite people based off of like what makes sense for that theme.
I think that's so smart. So like, okay, give me a theme example.
I mentioned to you earlier like for December I want to do like a Yankee swap with the trivia team. So we'll do like a lads dinner party. And then once we get to January though, like I wonder what else I could do.
I would bring Mika in.
I would kind of
bring
love
her in.
Ooh.
Yeah, you
absolutely. Yep. I was one of the things that I was thinking of is like, what if I did like a dinner party and it was like it was based on like rekindling
old friendships
or like people that I just like haven't had a lot
really
of time to. I haven't seen them. We've like stayed like sort of in touch.
That's
like
super sweet.
I think it'd be so fun. I mean, it would be hard to do because people are all over the place, but like I'd love to do like a little dinner with Hannah, Nissa, and Sarah.
That would be so sweet.
So for those of you that are new, Hannah, Nissa, and Sarah were, they're friends of mine from the theater camp that I went to when I was a kid. And we're still in touch. I talk to them every now and again, but you know, we're all like in living in totally different places. Hannah lives in New York.
Totally.
But yeah, Nissa and Sarah live elsewhere, but I think it would be so fun to plan like a dinner party for us four and just sort of like be nostalgic and
totally
rekindle things a little.
And I know Sarah because she lives in Boston and we know each other through Maddie, obviously. And the last time that I saw her, she was saying that she wanted to come visit you in New York.
Yeah.
So I feel like,
I think that would be super
fun. She'd be super game.
Yeah. So who knows? We'll see where the dinner party, inspiration takes us, but I think it's something I want to continue doing monthly. I can't deal. She's so fucking cute. She's like looking up at me as we're doing this, sitting on my lap. What a cutie patoot. So I thought what might be fun for Ash and I to do, just a little mini episode for you, since Ashley is about to leave. I thought we could just go through and play like an abbreviated version of We're Not Really Strangers.
Totally.
So if you don't know, We're Not Really Strangers is an emotional card game. There's three levels to it. The first is perception, the second is connection, and the third is reflection. And there's basically just a bunch of questions. When you're actually playing the game, you're supposed to do like seven cards each per round. And there's like dig deeper cards if you think that someone is not like giving you enough, or they gave sort of like a surface level answer. There's wild cards. There's like a notepad that you write notes on. So when you're like playing the full game, it can be kind of lengthy. And if you've played with someone before, I think the first round of like perception is like, you don't really need to do do it again. Ashley and I have played this game with each other so many times.
It's true.
On top of the fact that the first round is perception, which is like mostly like first impression questions. Yeah. And we met when we were 7 years old.
Do you remember a first impression of me?
Like, I could generate one, but I don't know if it's truthful.
I feel the same way.
I just know that, well, you know what I can say is something I do remember is I was so jealous of your blonde hair as a kid. Because as That's a kid, so I wanted
You've
blonde
never
hair.
Said that to me before.
And I mean, because my mom had blonde hair and I just loved, I thought That's people with blonde so hair funny. Were just like so beautiful. Oh, so I remember wanting to be your friend because you had blonde hair.
That is so funny. Well, I remember one of my earliest memories was in third grade. I've definitely told you this before, but Maddie was on the same bus as me, but it was like new.
Yeah,
you were
I
on
moved
the same
to
bus.
A new house in third grade.
And so like all of a sudden this girl that I knew from first grade, who I thought was super cool, was now on my bus, but I was a little shy at the time. And so I remember being really scared to go up and ask if I could sit next to you because I was like, I want to make this friend. I think she's so cool. I know her from first grade, but like, she might not even remember me and like, who knows? And yeah, I remember I worked up the courage. I asked if I could sit next to you. You were like, yes. And then the only thing that I remember from that conversation is we have brothers who are the same age. Mm. And I remember referencing him, which was like, and I don't even remember the reference, but I just remember like, I don't know. All of our siblings are basically the same age, which is actually really interesting. Both of us are the oldest of four.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I remember in the first grade, we were part of the Cow Club. We were founding members of the
That's
Cow
so true,
Club
bestie.
That met every day at recess underneath like some slide structure. Mm-hmm. What did we do in the Cow Club? I couldn't tell you.
No idea.
It's a complete mystery.
That's between us and God.
It is.
And that's okay.
It'll be left like that forever. Exactly. There's no force that could break that.
No.
We'll never know. But you know what I do remember about that playground is there was a bunch of yellow beads hidden in the mulch. Do you remember that?
No.
You could find yellow beads all that over that so playground weird. In the mulch. And I remember like digging for them at recess a lot. So I don't know if maybe that was something we did in Cow Club.
That's really funny. I don't remember that at all.
I don't know who put them there, but whoever did was brilliant.
How big were like the beads?
They were just like
big enough that you could see them in the mulch.
You could see
I'm
them
sure.
in the mulch, but they were almost looked like they were like friendship bracelet beads.
Oh,
like they were tiny.
Interesting.
And they were scattered along the mulch in the playground.
Weird.
And then we were on the same bus all throughout like third grade onward, pretty much. Mm-hmm. I think.
Mm-hmm. And then we were bus monitors.
Yeah. Well, we were self-appointed bus monitors.
But the bus driver was definitely behind it to the point where he defended us when somebody got mad, a parent.
Yeah. Well, because we asked him if we could be bus monitors.
Absolutely.
Which is like, that's so dorky of us. Why did
it's
we want to
we
do
were
that?
Leaders.
We were just like, we need to get these kids into shape. So if they were like standing up and jumping around, we were like, hey! This was like fifth grade, probably.
Yeah, I don't remember. But it was but just yeah, like, yeah, young, it was, young.
Because when we're in fifth grade, it's like the fifth in.
The fifth is with all the younger kids.
Yeah.
So somebody needs to.
It was like the fourth and fifth graders ride the bus, I think, with the second and third graders.
Yeah.
It's two different schools in our town, but I think they're. Or is it with kindergartners and first graders with the fifth and fourth graders?
I don't know.
There's a wide range of grades that ride those buses. So I think maybe it is the first graders with the fourth and fifth graders.
Yeah.
So that's why there was bus monitoring that needed to be done. And then we were older. We had the upper hand and we thought that Steve needed some help.
It's true.
And
you know what?
He did.
He did.
And you know what? He was so grateful to us.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were kind of rats.
We whipped that bus into shape. We told them what was up.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Talk about a little power play.
Honestly. We were so intimidating.
I'm like too shy to come over and talk to you, but I'm like fully ready.
Like
to
fully
like...
ready to yell at some first graders.
Yeah. Hey,
you shut down. But for that reason, it's hard to answer some of the first impression questions. Cause it's like my brain wasn't even like a fraction of being formed when I met you. So it's like, how many memories do I really have from that time? Mm-hmm. Not many.
But we have a couple good pictures of us when we were really little. Which
we
is
do
really
have a couple
sweet.
Good
I don't
pictures.
Remember them. But we have some really cute pictures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Want to do a question?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just pull from the connection for at first. Good. We can do that for a little bit, and then we can switch to reflection. We're just going to freeball it.
Feels good.
We're totally not following the rules, but...
You want to start us off?
All right. Let's see what we got here. What is something you wouldn't want to change about yourself?
Ooh. Well, I am a kind person, mm-hmm. and looking back on my life, I feel good that I have been kind in most situations, mm-hmm. and I feel proud of that, and I feel like that gives me a lot of integrity.
Definitely.
And I will always prefer and opt to be kind in, like, every situation. Like, I would never want to change it about myself. Yeah. I think that that's, like, a really good quality about me. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah. Well, I completely agree with everything
Thanks,
you said.
Bestie.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond just kindness. I think it's that you have, you're very, it's invested kindness. Like, mm-hmm. you're very patient and understanding. And I think you, it's more than just, oh, you're really nice. It's kindness that is, like, backed up with action.
Thanks.
Which I think is...
It's really sweet.
Yeah.
And I think, like... For me, kindness goes really hand in hand with open-mindedness mm-hmm. and non-judgment towards other people, but also to myself. I feel like the kinder that I am to myself, the more non-judgmental I am to myself, mm-hmm. it's so much. I mean, not that it's really ever been like super difficult. You know, I've never been super critical, but yeah. I feel like as I grow kinder and as I grow more open-minded to myself, it's so easy to extend that grace, that open-mindedness, that kindness to others. And I'm sure you feel similarly.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you say?
I think, what is it? It's one thing I wouldn't change about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably my like gut answer for questions like this is always to say my mm-hmm. sensitivity. Because I feel like that is something that I... frequently have to like go back and forth with where mm-hmm. I'm like, this is a frustrating part of me sometimes. It's something that I feel like sometimes I wish I wasn't yeah. so sensitive.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, my sensitivity has always been like a net positive
Absolutely.
Thing about me. And I think like being a very sensitive, emotional, soft person has allowed me to be gentler with myself
yeah.
and also for the people around me. Like I think
makes that, you a better connector.
Yeah. I think that like I've been able to sort of be like an older sister for myself
yeah.
in some ways because I feel like my sensitivity, I don't know, it just sort of it helps me better understand mm-hmm. my emotions. And I feel like I've been very comfortable with like the range, the spectrum of human emotion. I think that like being so sensitive has just it's forced me to
yeah.
get comfortable
totally
talking about how I feel, feeling how I feel. And like I think in turn it's made me very comfortable with how other people feel
totally.
As well. And it's made me good at helping other people feel comfortable with how
yeah.
they feel. So I think that yeah, in some ways my sensitivity has felt like a heavy weight to bear sometimes because I just care so deeply about
yeah.
it seems everything.
That's
and
I know
that
it.
Is a lot sometimes for my brain.
Yeah.
But I think overall, it's also the reason why I'm able to take such good
yeah.
care of myself.
Totally.
And I think it's why a lot of people feel connected to me
100%.
As well.
And that's so obviously demonstrated by what you're doing for a career. But also this reminds me of what we were talking about yesterday, where mm-hmm. like it is so human to feel like that is the
yeah.
most human experience. And I think you've done such a good job of like really embracing your humanity and the full spectrum of the human experience, the highs, the lows, mm-hmm. everything in between. Like you have acknowledged it, you're accepting it, and you're going for it. And because you continue to like embrace and accept all of that, I think like you're just going to continue to heal and become a more wise, caring, empathetic person.
Yeah.
So I totally agree, Bestie. Okay, I have an interesting question for you.
Okay.
Do you think the image you have of yourself matches the image people see you as?
Interesting.
I know.
I would say mostly yes. I think that most people see me the way I see myself. There are quite a few people who don't, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people whose opinion I would value see me in a similar light.
Yeah.
I think more recently in my life, I do feel like majority understood.
Yeah.
Focusing mostly on like the people that know me.
Yeah.
The people who like are close to me.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like they see me the same way I see myself. If we expand that pool of people to include like strangers on the internet, then my answer changes. But if we're talking like just about people who know me in real life, then I think those people see me the same way I see myself. And I think a lot of people on the internet see me the same way I see myself as well.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people on the internet that don't as well.
Totally. So.
Yeah. But they also don't know me. So I can't really fault them for getting me super wrong because they don't have all the information.
Yeah. I would say kind of similarly, I feel really known by the people like really close to me in my life. And I feel like the people really close to me know me really well. And I would say that the people that are on the outskirts who have heard my name and kind of know like what is perhaps stereotypically known about me or like my reputation is, they get it right, but it's lacking depth, understandably, and a lot of aspects of my personality because, you know, social media or the highlights can only demonstrate so much. I think like a lot of people who have heard of me have known me because, as Maddie knows, I've started 4 different businesses. The first business when I was like a teenager in high school, and I've been featured in Forbes and all of these different things that really made me kind of stand out in high school and college as like highly entrepreneurial and successful. And so I think like people know that. But I think that I also have like a lot, I think people hear that and feel oftentimes intimidated.
Mm.
That's like the number one thing that I hear from people previously, like in college was like, oh, you're intimidating. Or I was so intimidated the first time I met you. And
which I think is so interesting because I've routinely gotten that too.
Totally.
And like looking at you, you're like so not intimidating.
I know.
At all.
There's no, there's
that
no, like
I, sometimes like, it confuses me.
Like,
where
I
I'm
know.
Like, are you, I find it strange that sometimes like very strong, vocal, talented women get called intimidating.
Yeah. Like I'm accomplished, but I'm also like, there's no one that wants you to succeed more than me.
Yeah.
Like
I'm not trying to compete with anyone.
No, there's not a competitive bone in my body.
Yeah.
I just want you to win and I want to cheer you on.
Right.
Like that's it. So I do think that like, it's true that like I care about, uplifting others in business and like, but also like, business is really just like a way for me to be creative. That's why I like it so much. It feels like I'm pushing myself in a really creative, fun way. Like I'm doing it because I care and it's an expression of my care and creativity.
Yeah.
And so I think like, I think that there's a lot of aspects that aren't demonstrated, like my sense of humor, like, you know, my commitment to my friends, like there's just different things that aren't necessarily highlighted. And part of that is like because I don't know how to be more in depth on social media. Maybe there isn't even a need for it, right? Like something that I think about is like how do I convey more via Instagram so that way it is more authentic, but also like I don't know if that's even a good goal,
right?
You know,
who is that playing to?
Yeah,
because the people that know you already know those things.
Totally. Well, yeah, and I think that this is interesting because, well, so something that I can talk about is, so I've had a boyfriend for like 5 years and he's very private. And as Maddie knows, I'm not, I love sharing.
Yeah.
And so I do think like I struggle sometimes that I can't really post about him on social media because I want to share him with the world. But he's like, well, everyone that knows you has met me, has hung out with me. Like, they're like, why does this need, like, why does it need to be more public? And so I think, like, I do feel like a sense of like conflict in that area. Yeah. And part of it is like, I'm such a sincere person that I want to be. I feel like if I'm not showing everything in a really sincere way, then I'm like omitting the truth and kind of lying a little bit. And so, I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it's interesting. I think it's interesting how like our sense of self plays into like how we generate our social media and how the two are like so linked at this point.
Yeah.
Where like, you want to be able to showcase on your social media pages that like your relationship is of high importance in your life.
Like,
you
so want important.
When people like quick glance at your profile within the first 60 seconds, this is something they learn about you.
Totally.
But I think it's interesting. And I think about this a lot in terms of like dating profiles as well, where like you're forced to like try to summarize who you are into like a bite-sized piece for people to consume quickly.
Yeah.
Like how incomplete it will always feel because we are just too complex to be summarized by that. You will always look at your dating profile and think, this isn't really me, because it's just not complex enough to totally capture you.
Totally.
I think your Instagram profile is always going to be the same way. Like you can post and post and post.
Yeah.
But like, at the end of the day, like how many people are taking the time to consume all of that to totally understand you? Like, I think maybe some people will.
Yeah.
But is the amount significant enough to make a real difference?
Totally.
Other than to make you feel like, well, the information is out there, but if people aren't going to consume it in a meaningful way, then like, I guess it, none of it really matters.
Yeah.
Like people are going to see what they see, and the people who know you are the ones whose opinion really matters.
Yeah, I agree. I agree so much.
But I do find it interesting how like those of us that have grown up in like the rise of social media are like sense of self and like how we display that is like very important.
Well, because I want it to be authentic, so like
you
know, and anyone who knows me knows that Jonna is like one of the most important like best parts of my life.
For sure.
If you look on my Instagram, it looks a little bit like I'm single. You know, like you can't really tell. And like that's fine. You know, but I do think like it is interesting kind of like considering like what is the purpose of our Instagram and like who is it for? And and you know, for me, I use Instagram, that's how I present, but all social media could you know, it could work for.
Totally.
So
it is interesting,
and I think I feel more detached because I do feel so secure in my life and in my relationships. Everyone who knows Jonna like knows him, like it's not a secret, you know. But I do feel like more, I feel more secure and a little more detached from getting my social media presence perfectly authentic because I think I've kind of just acknowledged like it actually, it can't be fully, you know?
Yeah. No, never.
Like, and I like sharing authentically, but Instagram,
but half the time, like sharing authentically sometimes means not sharing.
Yeah, that's true.
Living authentically and being authentic
a lot
of the times is not posting it, not sharing every piece of information.
Totally.
Which I think is, sometimes it's strange because people really want people to be like, oh, well, I'm real online, I'm authentic online.
Yeah.
But sometimes being authentic online actually like is at, like you're sacrificing your authenticity in your day to day, which I think what is authentic to you and your relationship is to be more private.
Yeah,
that is what is truthful to your relationship. So is preserving your privacy considered being inauthentic online? I don't think so, but it does feel that way. Like I get what you're saying. I think people present it that way. Like the idea of authenticity online is being like hyper transparent, which I don't think is true, even though that's how it's generally spoken about.
Well, and we'll do another question in a second, but it reminds me of when you did that episode on Amaranth or whoever.
Yeah.
How. Yeah. there was a lot that was like left out of the online persona. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, we could do so much commentary on that.
Yeah.
But also like, she's allowed to have fucking boundaries. Right. Like she's allowed to like do whatever she wants, you know? Yeah,
definitely.
Okay. What are you still trying to prove to yourself?
What am I still trying to prove to myself?
I can answer. I know for me, I am trying to prove to myself that there is better out there for me professionally.
Yeah.
I think my first business was running workshops and summer programs for teenage girls on self-esteem, mental health, leadership. It was not full-time, but it was a job for sure. And it was like the most fulfilling, energizing, best thing I've ever done in my entire life. The thing that I am like most proud of. I feel like kind of everything that I've done since then has been trying to like chase the original fulfillment that I felt with that. And I really believe that it's possible to have such incredible working conditions once again in my life. Like I feel like we did it before, we can do it again. Not that it was perfect, but like it was really great by all accounts. And I feel like I am trying to prove to myself, because I get really discouraged and scared that I'm never going to find that again, and that was my peak. I'm trying to prove to myself that like there is good out there professionally, and I will find it.
Yeah.
Even if it has been difficult.
Totally. Yeah. This one feels hard to answer for me. And I think probably it feels hard to answer because I feel like I'm at such a...
Yeah.
Like, I'm in like a very chill phase of life right now, or I'm attempting to be in a chill phase of life right now.
I'm like, are you sure about that, Bessie?
I feel like I'm not really... I don't know, like any like answer that's coming to my brain right now doesn't feel like totally truthful.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, there's not much that I'm worried about at this point in my life. Let me put it that way. There are things that stress me out on a day to day, week to week level, but it's nothing that I'm like, I'm still trying to prove to myself that I can change this or it can be better. I know that it can be better. I know that I'm going to fix it. I know that there is.
Yeah.
Like I'm not worried for myself, I guess.
No, definitely not.
Is the thing.
And again, you've accepted your strengths, your limitations. Yeah. Like,
so it's
you
not
don't have anything to worry about.
Like, right. I guess the word prove is throwing me, because I don't feel like, yeah, there are imperfect things about my life. There are things that I want to change. There are things I'm working on changing. But I don't feel like I'm proving anything to myself or anyone. I know that I'll be okay.
Yeah. And you will be.
So I guess that feels difficult for me to answer because of that.
Is there a feeling you miss? I miss feeling fulfilled. Going back to the last question. Stimulated, energized by my career.
I mean, maybe energized is also the word for me as well. I think I've just been like in this sort of like creative block burnout phase for the past few months. And I've had moments where I've like burst out of it. Like I think making the therapy video was super fun for me, and it felt very energizing and fulfilling. And it was like during the process of making that video, I was like, it's done. Creative block over. I'm back at it, baby. And then when the video was over, I was kind of like, okay, well, here we are again. And so there have been like moments in like my creativity where I just feel like I'm on a fucking roll. And it's not even that like the output looks a lot different than what I'm doing right now. Like, I don't think that my like content value has decreased in any way. I just think I'm getting restless, and I think I'm looking for like the next thing to inspire me, but I just haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
And so I think that I'm just a little bored with what I have been doing, and I miss feeling like totally energized and inspired by something. And I get it in little bursts, but I miss when it felt like so all encompassing.
Like obsessive.
And I know it'll come again and that this is like, it comes in waves. And right before it happened, the last time I was in a burnout creative block phase, it lasted 8 months where I wasn't producing anything. And that felt so much worse than like where I'm at right now, where it's like, I do feel a lot of burnout. I definitely feel like I'm in a creative block, but I'm still producing. And I'm producing stuff that I like and that I think is good, even if it's not like totally lighting my soul on fire. So I think I'm in a better spot than I used to be in previous burnouts, but I am really excited for whenever that next wave hits me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. What has been your happiest memory the past year?
Ooh. Paris.
Paris.
I think this past year, like the absolute highlight for me was going to Paris by myself.
It's amazing.
It just felt what like a very profound moment for me.
Yeah. And like, what a moment of like, you did that.
Yeah.
Like you did that. Like you realized the thing that you've been working towards since you were like 10 and got to celebrate solo in Paris. Yeah. Like how magical.
Yeah. No, it was so perfect. It was so fun. It's definitely my favorite.
My truth is that I'm always going to love a forbidden romance trope. And you guys know I love a spicy read. But what if the forbidden romance was also a cowboy romance? A hot, steamy, former pro bull rider with an employee that's slowly falling in love with him. If you're a fan of contemporary cowboy romances by authors like Bailey Hanna, Lila Sage, Elsie Silver, or Paisley Hope, you will absolutely love Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose, which is a part of the Crimson Ridge series. Each book in the series reads as a standalone, but they all take place in the same remote small town, and they're all, of course, very spicy. Taming of the Heart is super spicy. It has very explicit sexual imagery and language throughout, which obviously is exactly what I signed up for. And it basically just drops you right into what it would be like to be hired by a ranch for the summer, except your boss is unreasonably hot, literally looks like every fantasy and daydream you've ever had come to life. Oh, and he's already accidentally seen your favorite toy. Okay, you're the eldest daughter. You lock your heart away safely out of sight, but then boom, a former pro bull rider, much older than you, with a mustache, might I add, that makes you weak at the knees shows up. He's the whole package. And he's luring you in with glimpses of what it might be like to let your guard down for the first time in your entire life. I know you guys are going to love it. I've been sucked in from the moment I picked it up. You can find Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. And you can learn more by checking out Kensington Publishing at kensingtonbooks.com.
Part of the year.
Yeah, it's hard to think of what my happiest memory might be. I'm like trying to think about what happened. Croatia, obviously.
A good one.
Such a good one. But I want to think of like a more specific memory. Well, really like happy, just like part of my life was when I was living with Mika, you know, at the beginning of the year. And well, you know what, actually, a really happy memory that I had was when Mika and I started contemplating being co-founders, because we never expected it,
yeah,
nor like thought that it was going to be something that we would do. And it was just so fun and like surprising, both of us kind of like daring to suggest it a little bit. And that was definitely like that was like a happy memory, yeah, realizing that like I could have a really good teammate in my bestie.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. What is a lesson you will take away from our conversation? Or a takeaway more broadly? Might be a lot to pull a lesson out of this. I think it was nice of you to say that I have star power. And I think that I need to keep that in mind and feel confident going into this week, as opposed to like insecure, shaky, or uncertain.
Yeah.
I need to remember what I've done and what I can do again.
My, like, I feel like we're in like constant communication. Like when thoughts enter my brain, I tell them to you.
It's true. If you don't know them, like I didn't think that thought.
So I feel like most of, maybe it feels hard to pull takeaways because I feel like I'll continue.
Absolutely.
Like this is not the end of these conversations. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I was crying to Ashley earlier
before we started filming this, I cried for like an hour.
It's true.
And had a nice, it was necessary. It was needed. Had to get some extra water out of my body. I've been very hydrated recently and my body was like, tears, you've got some extra hydration in there.
It took you by surprise.
I had no idea that I was going to cry today.
And it's good that you got it out.
Got it out. And I was like, you know what? I'm so excited to talk to my therapist on Tuesday.
It's true.
So I'm like, I don't know if I have like a nice, neat takeaway, but I think that I have like a jumping off point for what I want to talk about in therapy this week. And sometimes it feels nice to like have those conversations before I go to therapy so that I can sort out like what feels most important to talk about and what feels like something that I might just be like in the heat of like the emotion rushing over me. I might feel something, but then once it passes, I'm like, that's actually not something that I'm worrying about. Well, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I feel like sometimes it's nice just to like sort through that with a friend and be like,
totally.
I felt this in like the wave of emotion that was passing me. But when I'm sitting calmly in therapy and I'm not crying, like what is it that feels important to bring up?
Well, I don't even think you realized how much it was impacting you until you started talking about it. And so I think like what a good thing that we started talking about it. And then you were able to just release a little bit. And now coming into therapy, you've already identified like a starting point.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah. So I think, but I feel that way every time you and I talk.
Bestie, me too. Maddie knows me better than I know me. I'm always like, Maddie just needs to tell me what to do because she's going to get it right. I'm like, I can't be trusted. She knows me.
How do you think our personalities complement each other?
Oh my God, I'm so glad that you asked. Okay. There's so many answers to this. Obviously, everything. Mm-hmm. For starters. No, but for real, I do think you're very sensitive, obviously, and I'm very sensitive too. And I think that for a long time, you presented in a fierce way, right? Like that was like a really good thing that you always like were and wanted to be. And definitely. That was like such a positive thing.
But also, I feel like I was for a little bit. I don't know if I was just like dealing with like.
No, you absolutely were.
I don't know what it was, but I talked to my therapist about this. So I feel like I was way different in high school than I am now.
You were.
People were like cruel to me as a kid. And I cared way less back then than I do now receiving hate comments from strangers.
It's so true. One of my favorite memories of Maddie was Maddie would sadly wake up at 5 a.m. every day, do a full face of makeup, full fit, everything. And she did this for years. She was dressed to the nines every single day. Mm-hmm. And then at some point senior year,
I said, fuck you, bitches.
Maddie realized that she didn't care about anyone. And why had she spent all of these years trying to impress people?
The entire second semester of senior year, I woke up 10 minutes before I had to leave,
and pulled
up
in sweatpants and
every day. No
every
makeup.
Every single day. It was but the most it was dramatic like a, it was transformation.
It was a very dramatic shift because I woke up
like
so early.
I know. I couldn't believe it.
For all of high school. Amazing. And then one day I just decided I was done.
And she was. But I do think like you have like a real like fierceness that you've like had for a lot of your life. But I think you've always been sensitive.
Yeah.
And so I think like our mutual sensitivity like has always like really like brought us together. Even if we've maybe presented differently like on the exterior at different points in our friendship.
Yeah.
I think also like we complement each other because we have literally like the same like values because we've shaped each other so much.
Yeah. 100%.
Like our standards of what a friend should look like was shaped by each other.
Yeah. I completely agree.
But complimenting is supposed to be about kind of like different things that we bring out of each other, I think. So I'm trying to think of like, well, I kind of said this before, but I just think that you know me better than I know me. So I think that like you compliment me in the sense that like you know best and what I need and you can be a little more decisive sometimes and that's like very validating for me to like hear because I trust your judgment so much.
Yeah.
So that's a way that I feel like you really like compliment me is like your certainty about me is really helpful. I think I'm a more outgoing.
100%.
And I think we do well together, like socially and like here, because both of us are like I don't know. We're both very like,
we're very introspective people.
Yeah, exactly. And both of us are willing to like get in there.
Yeah.
Above all else.
If there's anything we know about.
No, we know how to get in there.
It's getting in there.
Come on.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I do feel like we're like very similar.
Yeah.
In like most ways. I don't know that people would perceive us as being as similar as we actually are.
Yeah.
Like I think that we overlap in like so many ways, but I think that maybe on the exterior, we come off very differently to other people.
I completely agree.
But I think, like, yeah, I just feel like we have so much in common.
Yeah. There's, like, very few.
There's, like, we have, like, the same traits, but they get pulled out in different ways.
Yeah, totally.
Because, like, I think that, like, we're both very, like, introspective and sensitive. Yeah. And we're, like there's really like no conversation off limits for us. No. Like I think we're both just like very like
again, here we're it gonna is get in there.
Kind of people. Like we're ready to talk about anything. Like there's just nothing that we won't touch. Yeah, pretty absolutely. Much. We're both very opinionated.
We're both
for sure.
Fearless.
We're both like very opinionated. We care very deeply about so many different things.
Yeah.
I think that like our like approach to those things is probably why people would see us as being different, because I think that you are like, you take the business approach, the like public speaker approach, you're like the brains, and then I take more of like the entertainment approach.
Yeah. And what's so interesting is Maddie is like the best businesswoman I know. Like your savviness for business is like stunning. Like you are so entrepreneurial. It's so fun to watch you. Thanks. And similarly, I am super creative, but it manifests a little differently.
Right. Outwardly, people would perceive us very differently.
Yeah. But we definitely both like have those skill sets.
100%.
Truthfully, I don't think that we would even be good business partners because I think that we're too similar. I don't think we would have enough to like I think both of us, we have this so many of the same strengths that like it wouldn't be like, oh, well, you're like, you come at me in this way because you have this strength that I don't have. Obviously, you have strengths that I don't have and vice versa. But it's like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
We're similar enough. And also both of us kind of like being the leader.
I think that's the main thing that I was going to say.
Yeah.
As I think that both of us are just like, we are oldest siblings at heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is, I think it's. When you both want to be like driver's seat, no passenger, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
We need to be driving cars side by side. We can't be in the same vehicle.
Exactly. That's so true, Bestie. All right. Last question. You ready?
Yes.
What am I most qualified to give advice about?
Ooh. I mean, honestly, I think Ashley's qualified to give advice on so many things because I seek. Any advice that I need, I go to Ashley.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's no one topic that you're qualified for.
Yeah.
You're qualified for like any bestie advice that needs to happen. Like, I feel like I feel like you're very good at like lifting people up in like the self-esteem department. Like if I'm having just like a lousy self-image day, you're a good person to go to. I think you're also really good to go to about like, anything work related in general, but I think especially feeling like overwhelmed or overworked, I think that like, you are very good at like reminding people to like prioritize themselves, to take breaks, to like, just like prioritize how you're feeling at the end of the day. It's more important than like checking something off a to-do list. Like if I'm calling you and I'm upset and I'm stressed out, the first thing you always say to me is like, hey, does this need to happen? Like let's reorganize the schedule. Like what can we move around? How can we make this easier? Like you're very like,
they're all due on Tuesday.
I'm like, they actually, I can't move like, any bestie. Of them. You're like, okay, well, maybe we can just move one thing. I'm like, no, we can't. But yeah, I think it's hard for me to say just like one thing because I really do go to you for everything. And I think that obviously. You give such good advice in every department. But I think that like if a stranger was gonna be like, I really need advice, who am I gonna go to? I would say, like, particularly like business advice. Yeah. Or if you just want like a hype woman who's in your corner, that you need a little pick me up, a little self esteem boost, like you are the one.
Thanks. I would say for you, I think that you have like such wisdom on pursuing a big goal over the long term. Like, mm-hmm. I think like you are so smart and savvy when it comes to like taking a side hustle and turning it into like something greater. And I think that you have learned a lot about how things take time. And I think that that's like a really good, like, I feel like honestly, like you could coach like marathon runners, you know, because like you would just be like reminding them about it's so all about funny. The steps. You know what? I was driving in Hopkinton for a doctor's appointment the other day and I saw your mom running.
Oh, so funny.
Isn't that so funny? My mom's a marathon runner. But yeah. Anyway, I just think that like, I think that like people looking to achieve like bigger goals that they're really passionate about, you have like so much wisdom accumulated because this didn't come easy. Like you really worked pretty tirelessly for it. And like, in addition to like the actual work, also just like you persisted through every emotional hurdle.
Yeah.
And there was a lot.
There was quite a few.
There was quite a few. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
That was so much fun. A little mini episode for you because Ashley's got to leave. But
I know, I wish we had more time.
We had to get her on the pod. Had to do it part two.
Yep. It's all good
and
stuff.
And we'll at some point do a part three.
Oh,
and yeah. We got to get Mika back on the pod,
too. I know. We really need her.
There's way more pod.
All in due time.
Podcasting needs to happen.
What are you doing Friday? I got excited. We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen.
Well, we'll see what we can do.
Thanks, Basti.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Oh my gosh. Ash. Thanks for staying with me for the weekend.
Are you kidding me? It's so much fun. Thanks.
All right. Be sure to check out what Ashley's doing on social, her company, Wildflower Company. They just released planners.
So true. If you're in need of a 12-month undated mindfulness planner at the Wildflow Co.
They also do events pretty regularly.
It's
they
true.
Put
we
on
have workshops every month.
Workshops as well that are super helpful if you're trying to get more organized, get better at goal
We're
setting.
We're doing a gratitude and gift planning workshop for free. So if you want to plan out your gifts, whether it's a note or a physical product for your friends and loved ones, and also reflect on some seasonal gratitude.
We love that.
It's going to be on, I think, November 21st. So
much fun. So you can see more about that if you go to the Wild Flow Co.
So true.
On Instagram. Okay. It'll all be linked in the description of the YouTube video. Thank you guys so much for listening. Woo! Love you so much. And I'll talk to you next week.